The very idea of growing in sin completely floors most Christians. I don't mean growing in doing more sinning, but growing while you're sinning. Is that a possibility? This broadcast is about to tell you it is, and I will prove it if you take Scripture as the evidence. Colin Cook here, and How It Happens. Thanks for joining me today. You're listening to a broadcast on good news and how faith in Jesus Christ reveals the heart of the Father to us so that we may approach Him under all circumstances without fear. This is the way we break through our addictive struggles. So join me and listen in and learn. All right then, so what happens when we stay open to God and we're indulging in pornography? Is this a blasphemy? Is this taking God lightly? Is this likely to incur the judgment of God upon us? Or is this a courage of faith that says, "Dear God, I will do worse if I don't stay open to you, and I need to stay open to you and talk to you about this as I'm exploring it, because then things will change." Look, the idea that things will change, that is so important. How do you think they do change? Do they change when you close God down? Do they change when you switch God off because you're such a sinner and you need, therefore, to overcome your sin so that you can then open yourself up to God? Do you understand that that is absurd from a Christian point of view? There is no growth without God. Who does the growing, let me ask you, you or God? Obviously, our Heavenly Father does the growing. Jesus said, "Stick to the vine, stay in the vine, stay with me, and you will grow, you will bear fruit." But without that, by the way, that's John 15, look it up again and see it from new eyesight. As you stay in the vine, as you recognize that you are a branch only and not the root, you will realize that abiding in the vine and communing with Him under all circumstances is what leads you to growth. So let's imagine the unimaginable. You're looking at pornography, and you're saying, "Father, I'm trembling, I'm afraid, but I want you to be here with me. I want you to walk with me through this and in this." And you suddenly see this person, let's see, it's a beautiful young woman, on the screen, and there is an impulse within you. You are sexually aroused, granted that, but there's another impulse within you as well to say, "Father, who is this woman?" Now, of course, you can never know, you won't know that, but you decide to think of her as a real person. Perhaps she goes to college. Perhaps she's married. Perhaps she has a couple of kids and does this on the side for a bit of extra money. Perhaps she is a bruised and wounded, emotionally abused, grown-up child. What woman would expose her nakedness to the world on pornography if she were not damaged in some way or other? Now, where do you think you would get that kind of insight from? Do you think you'd get that kind of insight by shutting God down and shutting yourself down? Remember, by the way, that when you shut God down, since you were made in the image of God, let us make man in our image, then you shut your image down, your sense of self, your sense of being. Do you think you're going to learn anything while you shut yourself down and God down? Of course not. That's the whole nature of pornography, that is, of addiction. It is a state of zombie-likeness. It is a state of emotional and spiritual immobility. You just don't move. That's why people in addiction who are closed down to God and self never grow. They are in a state of arrestedness. And how do you think you can grow? Unless you open up to God. And so let's suppose you talk to God about this woman. And you, can you believe this? Right in the middle of pornography, right in the middle of arousal, sexual arousal, you are open to God and you pray for her. Can you imagine that? Just think of it a minute. Father, I pray for this dear woman, this dear girl. I know I'm taking advantage of her right now, but there's something more. She's a wounded individual, and I pray that you will bless her today, wherever she is, that you will reveal Jesus to her. You will reveal that you can have mercy upon her too, and that she can know Jesus, even in this state. Goodness me, this is unbelievable, isn't it? And that may prompt you, you see, to even give her a name. Maybe the Holy Spirit says, give her a name. So you call her a name, Barbara or June or whoever, you know, and you speak and you pray for her. Now, do you think this is going to bring reality into your experience? You bet it is. Do you think you're going to be aroused much longer? Well, you're going to lose your arousal pretty fast. Because why? Because reality has come into it. There's legitimate sexual arousal that is in reality, and the sexual arousal that is not in reality at all. And once a bit of reality comes in, it's no longer blissful, you see, the sexual arousal, because ignorance is bliss. It's only blissful when it's total, that ignorance. But you're bringing a bit of reality in here. Father in heaven, I know I'm doing wrong. I know I'm sinning. I know I'm disrespecting this girl. But I praise you that you do not forsake me, that you are here with me, because you're training me, you're helping me to grow. Can you grow in sin, do you think? Can you grow while sinning? Well, of course you can. Good grief, think it through, man. We're all the time sinning in one way or another, either by commission or omission. And let me tell you, most sin is omission. In other words, most of our sins are what we don't do, not what we do, what we fail to do for the world. Can we grow even in our sinning? Of course we can. That's all God's got. That's all he can work with, sinners. And so we pray and we name this girl and we realize it's a person and perhaps we put her on our prayer list. I'll tell you something else. Maybe you can talk to God and say, Father, I have to tell you what I appreciate about this woman's body, what I like about her, what attracts me. Whether it's her hair, whether it's her breasts, whether it's her eyes, whether it's her the shade of her skin, whatever it is. You say, this is salacious, Colin. Of course it's not, man. Get real. Get real and understand that unless you bring all your thoughts and all your impressions into the presence of God, they cannot be modified, they cannot be changed, they will stay stuck where they were. And that's the nature of addiction. It stays stuck, as I said earlier. You stay in a state of arrested growth because having switched off God and switched off yourself, you are simply responding to stimuli without any evaluation going on at all. And that leaves you in a state of stuckness, arrested growth. You never make a movement forward. Now I'll tell you what else happens. The rush starts to disappear. You know what I mean by the rush, right? It's a common thing. Many people in sexual addiction experience a sort of rush when they're contemplating doing something sexual, and that rush creates such a sexual stimulation, they think it's a sexual high. But did you know that people struggling with alcohol also get the rush? So do people struggling with drugs, and so do people struggling with food. It's not a sex high, it's not a drug high, it's not a food high. It is the rush of fear that comes from guilt and shame. And as you open yourself up, and of course, by the way, it's so the rush of fear, which is the rush of adrenaline and all the rest of it, and since that's linked in your mind, or since you have sex on your mind, you think that adrenaline rush is actually a sexual high. But it's a rush of fear and guilt and shame. Now, as you open yourself up to God and talk about these things to him, you're going to be less afraid, less guilty, less ashamed. And what's going to happen to the rush? It's going to go away. It's going to diminish at least. And that puts you more in charge. Because the rush makes you feel totally out of control. Makes you feel that, there's nothing I can do. I just have to go with this. You don't even think I've got to go with it. You go with it without thought. But then the rush disappears. And by the way, that doesn't mean passion disappears. But it means that the rush associated with passion, which creates lust, that disappears. You're able to talk about these things. And perhaps you come to orgasm, maybe you masturbate, maybe you do not, but the point is this, that you can begin to say, Father, I know I have sinned, I know I have done wrong, but I thank you for not abandoning me, I thank you that you were there, because your being there reduced somehow the intensity of what I felt, the intensity of the orgasm, the intensity of the arousal. That makes it more manageable and more controllable. But you say, Colin, God's presence doesn't reduce passion, does it? No, it doesn't. Passions are innocent and beautiful before God. It's lust we're talking about. God's going to purify those passions of yours, make them innocent and beautiful in time. But what you need to know now is that with God's presence, you are not out of control. You have more control. It may well be that you choose to switch off that pornography before orgasm. But you say, I don't need to do this. I realize now, dear God, you are present with me and I can say no. And I'm going to pray for that girl. And you start putting, and you put her on your prayer list and pray for her. Now, I know this sounds utterly bizarre. Somebody once asked me years ago when I was contemplating starting a Christian radio program, he said, why should there be another Christian radio program by you? What's unique about yours? Well, this is it. You haven't heard this anywhere else, and it's time to give it a try. If it weren't for all the other stuff, we'd be such good Christians, wouldn't we? That's the problem, isn't it? So very often, we find the other stuff surprising, unexpected, perplexing, and confusing, and we say, why? Instead of asking why, we need to believe. I believe, but it's all the other stuff. Well, let's believe along with the other stuff. But what do I do when my life sucks while I'm trying hard to believe, somebody says. We're going to explore all of this in the next seminar, Saturday the 25th of October at La Quinta Inn in Lakewood. We're going to explore the various ways our faith in Christ can know grace in chaos. I believe, but where is God? I'm mad at God. I struggle. My life doesn't make sense. I worry all the time. I can't stop doubting. Why all this suffering? You may have heard these questions before, because this is what this broadcast has been about over the last couple of months. Now we're going to build on those teachings at this seminar where we can do it more personally. You can meet me and ask questions, and I can ask you questions too, and we'll learn together. So I invite you to the seminar Saturday, the 25th of October, 9:30 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon with a break for lunch. 9:30 till 3, a break for lunch at La Quinta Inn, 7190 West Hampden Avenue in Lakewood. That's the South Frontage Road of West Hampden Avenue. Bring a donation if you can. Recommended $60 to $100. That may not be approachable to some of you, so please just feel free to bring what you can. Even if you can't bring anything, bring yourself. That's more important. Okay, Saturday the 25th of October, 9:30 till 3, La Quinta Inn. And I'll see you there then. And I'll see you next time. Cheerio and God bless.